Talking brewskis, Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewski. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, more. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Yeah.
Hey guys, happy Friday. Welcome to Big Talkin' Brewskis. I'm Marissa Smith. We've got Rodney Daniels with us.
What's up, folks? I'm Rodney Daniels. Happy Friday.
We have Emily Duncan with us.
Hi.
And we have Kevin Michael Smith.
Ooh, try that again.
It's Kevin Smith Kirkwood.
There we go.
Have I been tagging the wrong person all day?
Maybe.
Okay. I've been tagging the wrong person.
Is there
a
Kevin Michael Smith? There's only one Kevin Smith Kirkwood.
Kevin Smith. Okay, we've got Kevin Smith Kirkwood. I've literally been tagging, like, literally the wrong person all day. Sorry, Kevin Michael Smith.
Take the free press.
I clicked on everybody looking at everyone.
All of his friends now think he's a Broadway sensation.
Use it. Use it. Use it. Free press, Kevin Michael Smith.
You're welcome.
So, Kevin, how was your week?
My week was great.
Until I fucked up your name. Okay.
It's a great map. It's been great, man. Working, some auditions. Getting my stuff ready for Classic Whitney Alive, July 31st at Joe's Pub. So yeah.
So now, what is Classic Whitney Alive?
It's my solo tribute show to the one and only Whitney Houston, where I basically she comes down from heaven and reincarnates in my body to perform a night of her tunes and it's live arrangements, her special concert live arrangements, because you know she could take a song and make it different every time.
Yeah.
So we do these live arrangements, beat for beat, arrangement for arrangement, riff for riff, fabulous costumes, guests that backup singers and guests that include Sissy Houston, Bobby Brown, Bette Sussman, and one or two other special surprises. But anyway,
it's
quite the night.
So now this is going to be at Joe's Pub.
Joe's Pub at the Public Theater.
Okay, and it is on
July 31st, 9:30 p.m.
And where can you get your tickets?
You can get your tickets. You can go to my website, which is www.kevinsmithkirkwood.com.
See, he almost messed up his name.
Go on. You're rubbing off on me. Keeps you humble.
Smiths unite.
Right. Or you can go to the Joe's Pub website and search the calendar, and there I am. Tickets are selling fast, actually, though, so we generally pack the place.
Get up on it.
So get your tickets.
Get your tickets today, folks. So, Emily, how was your week?
It was great. I just started freelancing again. I left my day job. So
congratulations.
I'm buzzing.
No cubicle for me, suckers.
I'm so alive.
This is what daylight feels like.
Yeah, and I'm preparing for a show that doesn't start till the fall, though, but I'm doing a family-friendly musical that I wrote every Sunday at the Pit. Or I co-wrote, I should say, with my friend Chris, who had the idea. So it's about Pluto, the former planet, finding out he's not a planet anymore and going around the universe trying to figure out where he really belongs.
Oh, that's
the answer is at home, of course.
I love it.
Yeah, that is
cute. It's got a lot of science facts in it. It'll be fun. It'll be great. I'm really excited about it.
No, it's so awesome.
That's what I've been up to all week is casting and that kind of thing for that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's totally cool. Rodney.
What's up?
How was your week?
My week was good. I was hanging out with you last night and hosted at the Broadway Comedy Club, so that was great. And then I woke up to this morning to seeing the beautiful pictures of Beyonce's babies, and it just... I was like, oh, hashtag life goals.
Oh,
how was your week?
My week has been okay. Like, I haven't been sleeping, so I'm still, like, a little cranky and a little, like, off balance. Like, I literally, since Sunday, I think I've probably, no, yeah, Sunday, I've slept probably maybe, like, 14 hours. Like, I just, I can't fall asleep. I can't get comfortable. So, I'm just, like, every morning, like, I wake up and, like, my, like, alarm clock goes off. And I, like, practically, like, chuck my phone across the room. I'm like, fuck, it's morning already. I haven't slept. But I will make it through. I will make it through.
Yeah, boy.
I'm not looking at you. Drugs.
I just, like, I don't even take Tylenol, so, like, right. I don't know.
So I'm telling you, NyQuil Z will just knock you out. And it's, like, made for sleep, and that's what it's made for.
But, like, eventually, like, my body is just going to make me sleep.
Right, what did I tell you was going to happen, though? You don't want it to be on the train. And
oh, my God.
A day later.
So, like, if you guys, like, if you follow me on, like, Facebook, I, like, reposted an article. There was a man that saw a woman that was sleeping on the subway and peed on her.
No.
Ooh, what?
Was peeing on her. She woke up to a random man peeing on her.
Like a mentally challenged homeless person?
I mean, even if they
I'm going to kill you.
like American Psycho.
Like a drunk guy who thought she was a urinal or what?
Like, I mean, she must have been porcelain then. Like, oh, it's just like, I can't, like, literally, what do you do if you wake up and someone is pissing on you? Like,
screaming, a lot of screaming, I feel like.
No, you're already pissing.
Yeah, at one point, get as much of it back on them as you can.
Like.
Yeah.
No, I'm kicking in that general direction.
Yeah.
Something's gonna happen, like, there that's not fun.
I'm probably gonna have, like, more charges against me than him at that point. Like, you know, it's just like, I feel like I need to start a GoFundMe now for my criminal defense,
just in case
I wake up and someone's pissing on me, because, like, I'm gonna need all the lawyers.
Well, this, like, is a cautionary tale that tells you to get some sleep. Tylenol PM, NyQuil, something.
Because otherwise, so it's strange,
you're not peed on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
Those are your options. You either figure out how to sleep or you get peed
on. Or I get peed on.
So figure it out.
That's it. It's like, get your life straight, bitch. Like,
before you get pissed off.
Get your sleep on and get your pee on.
That's it.
That are your only two options. So, Emily, what do you feel like the role of protest is today?
Oh, boy. So I was thinking about this because I was starting to feel like, is protest still useful? Like, is this working? Like, when we walk out on the street and we protest, like, what's happening? Does it really affect change? So I started going into, like, a deep Google of studies and that sort of thing. Like, what is it today versus where it was with social media and all this stuff? Is that how you affect change in government? And I guess there was a Harvard study about this exact thing, which basically said it doesn't necessarily affect policy directly, but that it gets people involved. And that's great. And you know, and bringing people, like, just keeping them interested in politics is the number one effect of protest today. And it's like, that's kind of depressing.
Right. But awareness is huge. Awareness and getting that out is huge. And, you know, there, you know, even with the Black Lives Matter stuff and protests that have happened, there are people in parts of the country who can't possibly understand what these people have to complain about.
Yeah.
But they're listening to the complaining and finally sort of being enlightened about some of the things that are happening in places that are not part of their experience, you know. So, I mean, I applaud that. That's huge.
Yeah.
Awareness. Yeah. Getting.
Yeah.
Well, I think that social media definitely kind of changed the dynamics of protesting, because you can have a social media outrage that I almost feel like has more rapid change than marching in the streets.
Right.
So, like, if someone, you know, if a host of a television show says something that people are offended by, and you have social media, like, jump on top of it and be like, hey, like, this is offensive, we're not going to support your station anymore, your network anymore, and advertisers start pulling out because they're just like, oh, you know, like people are upset by this. We're not going to advertise on this show anymore. And eventually Bill Riley gets fired. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. And that's sort of what I was thinking about. Like, is that the new protest in a way? Like, is that more immediately effective in certain ways? And like, I don't know, maybe. I mean, I think both are great.
Both are great. It enhances.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not both?
All the forms of protest, I think, social media.
I'm an introvert, so I do my protesting on the interwebs.
Yeah, yeah. It's also a comforting thought for me that maybe, like...
It's like, I'm not getting my ass beat for no reason.
And isn't it sad that that's a legitimate concern when you're expressing your right to, you know, free speech and assembly? And I've been to a few protests, and I've been scared and thought, you know, this. Look at all the cops around, and this could easily take a turn for the worse.
Yeah.
Luckily, really it
and you gotta save your face for Whitney.
Hello, right? That's my moneymaker.
Look at those teeth.
Thank you, Park Avenue Dental.
And he deserves a free cleaning. But no, but like I won't. I remember like when they had the women's march, I was specifically, I'm not marching. And like I had friends that came in from out of town for the march. And so like I hadn't seen them for a long time. So I was going to go to like dinner with them. And I got lost because I'm directionally challenged. And I ended up having to like go through the march to like realize that I went the wrong direction and then get back into the march because they were blockaded off. So I had to march like 10 blocks to like get to the restaurant. And I'm just like, but I was not marching today. And the whole time I'm like, oh my God, this is the time that shit gets crazy. Right. And my face gets fucked up.
Right.
And
right.
Like, you know, it's just like, I don't, does Affleck cover marches? I don't know.
Yeah, like, I always get nervous when things like when things start looking like a little hairy that I'm going to get deported. That's my like, number one concern because I'm Canadian and I'm Canadian and I'm no yeah yeah. I'm on,
why people don't get deported?
No, that's sorry. I should have prefaced with the fact that that's a possibility. If I get arrested, I'm out. That's it. Like, you know, I have no rights. I'm always like, oh no, I gotta go. I'm such a baby.
You look around and she just ran out. Like.
It's like, wait, where'd Emily go?
That's exactly right. I'm such a pussy. Oh my goodness. Classic Canadian. Don't tell my people I said that.
Don't you know? What part of Canada?
Nova Scotia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of like an island or...
It's a peninsula.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it's like a peninsula and an island on the East Coast. It's basically like dangles down around Maine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
They have the best salmon.
That's right. Yes, we do. Pacific side.
She's like, big P. I don't know how Canadians throw up their coastlines, but
yeah, the Atlantic is where salmon is at. I mean, the Pacific salmon sucks, so you can tell them I said so. Yeah. Wow. I'm going to get like hate mail over that.
That is okay. I'm going to take it all.
So sorry. You can forward it to me.
It's fine.
I'll write them back nice handwritten.
I got
letters.
Big shoulders. Kevin, how did Jay-Z's mom continue the conversation and like inspire people?
By choosing to come out on his album.
Yeah.
And that song, Smile, I believe.
Smile, yeah. I was listening to it on the way here. It's so good.
To me, it's actually groundbreaking. Yeah. The fact that she is living her truth is one thing and found her way, you know. But the fact that she chose to do it publicly like that and make it a part of Jay-Z's art, I think elevates... I mean, his art has been elevated pretty much the last... I've loved the last few things that he's done, especially this album. But I just think it's a beautiful public statement. And, you know, we don't have a lot of black females, you know, in stars, cult, you know, actors, performers, otherwise, who are publicly representing and are publicly open.
That's very
true. They are there, especially in show business. Mm-hmm. They are there, and we won't.
I feel like the only one I know is Wanda Sykes.
She's like one of the only ones that's out. Everybody else is like, they don't really talk about it.
Exactly.
Like,
they don't.
Yeah.
Well,
like Queen Latifah has like not openly said that she was gay, but it's clear and it's like obvious, but she just doesn't. She just has never publicly said it.
Never publicly
said it. Like, I've seen her at Pride. Like, she's like out there, like in the community, but never said it.
And you know, I believe, even if slightly reluctantly, that, you know, everybody has their own process and time. And, you know, I do, though, believe that politically and socially, if there's a world we can all be out, that's how you show that. That's how you normalize it.
Yeah.
You show that there are all different kinds of gay people, bisexual people, transgender people in all walks of life, classes, races. And that's how you normalize it, is with visibility.
Exactly.
So for me, I would love that. From as many people as are possible. But in the meantime, I'll celebrate the small victories with something like this, and the fact that, you know, and Jay-Z has been a proponent of gay rights and equality for a while. And then you start to think, oh, well, if he's had a mom who he knew was lesbian, that makes perfect sense. But it could have, you know, it could have influenced his art quietly in other ways, but to do it so publicly and have her on the album is brilliant.
You have to hear the song. Like, she's actually on the song.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's the song with them together, and he's like talking about her being a lesbian like his whole life and her being in the closet, and like the song is very powerful. It's gonna win a Grammy.
A lot of black women have that experience in this country.
Yeah,
we talk about a lot how the black male is pushed into a role of masculinity and no homo and that sort of thing, but the black woman is also pushed into certain roles of being strong and the caretaker and the nurturer and, you know, the childbearer and sorts of things like that. So they don't get a lot of role models and support. But I'm telling you, man, she commented on this. She said she's feeling like there's a new world, and she was looking around and seeing this new world of things happening, and she was like, it's time to live my truth.
But that's how it is when you come out too. It's like so freeing, because you spend your like this whole time like trying to like, you know, be in the closet, like not like let people know like who you are, and it's like such a big secret. And then when I finally came out and told every member of my family, it just felt like, wow, now I could just be happy.
Yeah, because it's really, you know, like I'm a cisgendered heterosexual woman, and I don't, I feel like I empathize with having to do that, but at the same time, like, I can't imagine having to do that, because like I never had to come out as straight. You know what I mean? And it's like I never had to tell my parents or my family, like, hey, by the way, I like the dick. Like, you know what I mean?
That's exactly what I said to my family, by the way, I like the dick.
Set them all down. Right? Right.
By the way,
I use different words than that, but.
Word for word.
Like, you know. It's like, I don't like no short dick men, but like. But like. I can't imagine of like the stress and angst and that is, and then like being worried about how how to really communicate that to your family, and worried about what their reactions mm-hmm. are, and you know, and it's funny because like I tell this story a lot on the show, but like, you know, a lot of my family thinks that I'm gay. And it's like, and I'm, yeah, I, hmm. they don't know me, I guess. And so it's like, I feel like I have to like reinforce that I'm straight, but it's like, so basically like I have a cousin that's a lesbian. And so I was down in South Beach. They have a lesbian conference in South Beach like every year.
Okay.
And so I just happen to be very frugal, and I'm like cheap as fuck. And so me and my friend were like, oh, our birthdays are in May. Let's go to Miami in May. And so like we were looking at like all the weekends to be in South Beach in May. And this one weekend was like literally like $500 cheaper per person with airfare and hotel and everything if we went this one weekend. So we're just like, that's by far the cheapest weekend. Like, we're going to save $500 a person. Let's do that weekend, which I think is reasonable. And so when I get to the airport, and I think we were left out of JFK, I was just like, oh, there's a, like, six lesbian couples on this flight. That's a little strange. Not that it, lesbian couples on a flight is strange, but just, like the mathematics
the
of it.
Concentration
was just,
of yeah, lesbians yeah, on like, this particular flight.
Like, all of a sudden, you're surrounded. Like,
oh, welcome to our world.
It's just like, cool. There's a lot of lesbians on this flight, and then we get down to the airport in Miami, and like the whole gate is lesbian couples, and I was just like, oh, there's a lot of lesbians in this terminal. And so then like we get to like Ocean Drive in South Beach, and like the only men are waiters. And I was just like, I went to an all-girls school, but this is still a lot of bitches. Like, like it was like, this is crazy. So now like we went and we had lunch, and I'm with my two friends, and I all of a sudden I hear this girl walking by me, and she's like, oh, that looks like my cousin Marissa. And, like, I look up, and it's my cousin, and I'm like, hey. And then she's like, oh, when'd you come out? And I'm like, whoa.
Wait, what?
Like, oh, because, well, yeah, you yeah. know.
Right,
she thought, oh, yeah. we're both here.
Right. Like,
she's like, it's finally happening.
I knew the whole time.
And I was just like, no, I'm just cheap. Like, you know. And so then she's like, oh, no. And I'm like, no, like, it's not like that. Like, you know, but, like, awesome. Like, you're here, blah, blah, blah. And
did you know she was gay?
Oh, at yeah. At the time? Okay. Yeah, yeah. She's, like, flannel wearing, like, Harley Davidson driving, like, cross-country truck driver. Like,
you got know. It. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a real lesbian.
No, she's like, for real. Like, you know, but, like, it's just funny because, then I immediately called my mom because I was just like, all right, the whole family is going to be on a conference call like in 2 seconds. And so I was like, mom, I just ran to my cousin. I guess I'm down here in a lesbian conference. They're all going to think I'm gay. And then she's just like, I know you're not gay. And I was like, all right, I just wanted to give you the heads up. So then like 10 minutes later, my first aunt calls. Where are you? What are you doing? And then, like, another, like, 10 minutes later, just like, oh, do you have anything to tell me? I'm like, no.
You know what? That's the sign of a close family. That's what I said.
Yeah, that's good, though.
Because you see, you know, a cousin or somebody and, you know, at some place where they're not supposed to be, and you get on the phone and everybody knows it. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's a family.
And 10 years later, I'm still explaining myself.
I feel like moms always know, though. They always yeah. know.
Oh,
moms yeah, always mom. Know. They know if you're gay. They know if you're straight. They just know.
Listen, it's
like my mom. Right. My mom in general did that. She was always know. Like, "Is there anything you want to tell me?" I was like, "No, I'm fine. No, nothing, nothing at all. I'm straight." And she's like, "Are you sure?" Maybe I don't know.
But it sounds like she would have been cool if you were.
Oh yeah, right. She's
that's,
great.
Listen,
she's, yeah,
and
right.
that's
what
the,
a lovely life to get to lead.
I mean, I was at Pride this year and sitting having dinner just off of Christopher Street with some friends and just seeing all of the young Black and Latino lesbians specifically. That I remember 10, 15 years ago, there was not this many folks.
Yeah.
Did you lose me?
Yeah, oh. I feel like it's
my
mistake.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah.
There we
oh,
go.
There
Am
go.
I there?
Yeah, yeah.
There we go.
There you go.
Okay, there you go. But yeah, just seeing so many young people, young, especially minority lesbians out in the streets celebrating was a beautiful thing and just yeah. made me think again about Jay-Z's mom and, you know, the culture that we're living in that's making that possible.
That's awesome.
I love it.
How was your coming out experience?
My coming out experience was interesting. I mean, growing up, it was pretty obvious that I was gay. So, you know, I was a nerd. I was skinny. I was a church boy. I was teased and called gay and faggot and all that kind of stuff. Chased home from school until I finally learned how to fight for myself. I grew up in the projects of Toledo, Ohio. But then, you know, once I started to find myself in like sort of late middle school, early high school, the more confident I became with myself, the less shit I started to get. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's tougher to fuck with somebody when they're just going to stand up for themselves and not take it. My parents weren't the coolest with it. And, you know, my mom struggled with it at first, but I was also the oldest and very independent. And like I said, was a good kid otherwise. So, you know, so there wasn't a whole bunch that they could say. And then right after high school, I went to an all boys Jesuit school.
Okay.
Which, again, was interesting because, like I said, after freshman, sophomore year or so, I started to come into my own and do theater and sing and be in the band. And, you know, so I got less stuff. I don't know, because what I'm saying is really important now. I'm just saying. Are we good?
Yeah, it sounds better. Yeah, that sounds better.
But yeah, I struggled a lot with religion because I was a religious kid.
We talked about this last time because my dad's a pastor, so like I had to go through like ordeal. I didn't come out until after like my freshman year in college. Uh-huh. Like I like went to college, went away, and it was just like, whoa, like what am I doing? Like I went back home after freshman year. I was like, look, I'm gay, and so that I have to like be at home and like deal with my family like that. So it was like a little bit different, but still, it's just like dad's a pastor. Like it's like. You know, when I was like 16, like I wanted to kill myself because I thought I was like, you know, going to go to hell because I just wanted to touch dicks all the time.
Mm-hmm. I also had, you know, some depression as a kid and a lot of anxiety and stress. And, you know, but I knew early on. And I mean, I had experience with boys.
Right. Exactly. Like, I knew early on, too. Early. But that's I'm so glad it's like more so much in the forefront now that like people don't have to go through the same like struggles. Like the 16-year-olds are like going to Pride now and they're like all about it. So
like we snuck to gay bars on the weekends in high school.
Right.
You know, and then unfortunately our school at St. John's, found out about it. And the principal had us followed in between the summer, between my junior and senior year of high school, had us followed and then started calling my friends and I in because we were the first out gay kids at that school, really. But it was still slightly, you know, secretive. Yeah. And he said, listen, we know where you've been going. We know what you've been doing, going to the gay clubs, and we're concerned about your underage drinking. And we're like, dude, the football team, you know.
Yeah, pounding. Yeah,
come on. Yeah. Right. And we never drank when we went to these clubs. It would be 16 and over, and they would do a big X on both your hands and take your ID at the door. So you couldn't drink. We were going to dance and be around other gay people.
Yeah.
But we were told we had to stop and blah, blah, blah. They threatened us a little bit, and then we've pushed back a little bit, and it sort of disappeared. Other than that, my high school experience was pretty good. There were some tough times coming out for sure.
It's like, I kind of feel like in high school I was kind of like awkward, and I was like,
weren't like, we all?
Yeah. But like, you know what I
mean? It's just like, and does anyone walk away from high school like, yeah, I did that great? Like,
right.
Like, there are some
that do as well. But see, exactly. The ones that like end up doing great like in high school are like fat now.
Yeah. Exactly. They can't see their feet.
Right.
Like, they got the diabetes. But like I was like awkward in high school and like I didn't have like a shit ton of friends or anything like that. But I did go clubbing a lot, and so I'm from Westchester County, so it's like a half hour from New York. So I'd come clubbing down in the city, and I'm not going to completely age myself, but I'm going to age myself. But like I was like in the era of like the club kids down here, and the Tunnel, and Twilo, and Limelight, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And those so like days. Those were the fun days, and so we used to go to a party called Curfew at the Tunnel, and I would, and it was like Curfew was like the gay side of the Tunnel, and we'd go in there just like the first couple of times we went in there, it was because like it was cheaper to go in on the gay side than it was to go in on the mainstream side. Plus, if you went in on the gay side, you could access the full club, but if you went in the mainstream side, you could only access half of the club because like the way the Tunnel was set up was that like half of the club was like gay and then the other half of the club was straight, but the only people that could go into both were the ones that went
and they had
gays.
A special entrance for the gay side. I used to have what's called a fag tag. I think it was Mark Blair fag tag that would be into that.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
So I used to go to the curfew parties all the time. Uh-huh. You'd like go down and like as soon as you walk in, you're in the jungle room and like
is that the one with the pink fur?
Yes. That's the jungle room. Yes. Do you like? I remember. Those were the fun days.
Those are my college days.
I was like, in Canada. I don't know.
I was in high school, but like, I would go in there, and I remember like like, and this is one of the things where I have such a problem with people having an issue with trans people being in the bathroom, was that they always had co-ed bathrooms. And I can't tell you how many times a trans woman would save my ass from, like, a creepy straight dude in the bathroom, get my makeup straight. Like, I learned how to put makeup on from, like, trans ladies, because, like, I'd walk in there and they'd just be like, girl, what are you doing?
They'd read you first and then fix your face in that bad bathroom lighting. Exactly. They would let your face
Exactly. And it's just like, all right, honey, you're cute, but what is this? And I'm just like, I don't know. And they're just like, all right, next weekend you come, you bring your makeup, don't do anything, I've got you. It's like, okay. And I'd come in there and they'd be there. And it's like, okay, girl, sit down. And all of my club friends were like trans women, and they protected me. I feel like they taught me how to be a lady. Like, you know what I mean? And yes. So like, I just kind of feel like I've never, ever in my life, in whatever state I've ever been, felt uncomfortable or safe with trans women in a bathroom. I 100% worry about getting raped by any guy that I meet on Tinder. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And as so, you should.
Exactly.
Right.
So, like, I'm just kind of like, you know, and I understand, like, middle America doesn't experience as much.
And therefore, those laws and those rules and those opinions are not based in fact or reality.
Exactly. Right. Because, like, you haven't been there. You haven't
exactly experienced. They're based in fear and ignorance.
Yeah.
Flat out.
I'm really glad that trans women and trans people in general are just coming out to the forefront. Like, it's like really like people are talking about it now. Absolutely. There are shows about it. Absolutely. I'm like addicted to the show called I Am Jazz. I don't know if you guys have watched it. It's on
I haven't
heard it's about on
is that TLC?
TLC, yes.
I've
but
seen
there's
it
this like this is like right. It's so good. Yeah. She's like this 16-year-old girl that like lives
she's
in Florida and she's trans and like going through high school and like you know, getting boobs and like now she's like thinking about like her bottom surgery and like going to like different doctors. And it's just fascinating. And I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, I saw an episode where she was with her friends playing pool and she was talking to her brother who she hadn't seen in a while or something like that, but the brother was trying to get used to using the correct gender
pronoun. Her friend
pronoun.
Yeah, because he was yeah, like, her friend
would,
was like,
you know,
yeah,
will you be comfortable like using gender the right gender pronouns, you
exactly
know? I don't know.
Yeah, that was the episode I was watching. It's really good.
And it's like awesome that conversation is happening on television.
On television, that you're able to actually see that.
And the kind of television that people in the Midwest might actually watch. Yeah.
Might actually watch, exactly. That's the part that like is really like amazing that other people that wouldn't, you know, normally see trans people. Yeah. Idaho and shit. Like,
honey, the Learning Channel, indeed.
Yeah, exactly.
Teach the children.
The children are our future.
Like, right? That's right. Hear, hear.
Cheers.
I knew you'd appreciate a Whitney reference.
Always.
Right?
I aim to please. No, but I mean, a couple years ago, like, you know, growing up in high school and in college, like, the only, like, gay people that were on TV were, like, Will and Grace, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's, like,
started changing.
RuPaul had a show back in the 90s on VH1. It was a late night show, but it was a talk show with a drag queen. It was the first ever of that, I believe.
Yeah.
But now she's completely changed the face of television with Drag Race and like it like putting drag out into the forefront. Like that was always something that was like taboo and people didn't talk about it. And but now it's just like
now the show RuPaul won an Emmy last year and this year they're nominated for 8 nominations.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
Amazing. Season 9. It's always been an amazing show.
Yeah.
Though it has gotten better. It has gotten better.
Yeah. But you go back and watch the early seasons now.
It's true.
It's like, whew. Like, just the camera work inside. Like, it's just a different show. But it's still a great show.
It's still a great show. The concept is still there.
It's like they hired professionals this year.
Right? Oh, and Peppermint was on this last season. Do you know Peppermint Gummer Bear?
Yes, of course I know Peppermint.
She's a friend of mine from New York City. and she was on the show, and she was the first out trans person who was, you know, went into the show being, you know, outwardly identified as trans. And now she has a documentary. I want to call it The Peppermint Project. Oh, sorry, Peppermint.
We got the fact check.
I love Mr. Peppermint, right.
And it's a documentary about her process of transitioning. And I think it was even started before RuPaul's Drag Race, but I think they're going to include that experience and then what's happening for her after. And I think they're trying to get it funded, too. So look for it. Check it out.
No, that's awesome. Well, I know that we had kicked this off on Jay-Z, and I'm going to kind of keep that Jay-Z path going. But Kevin, Project Peppermint.
Project
Peppermint. Peppermint. There you go.
Look it up. It's really
So I'm going to keep the Jay-Z path going. How did you feel about the usage of the N-word in the OJ song?
I thought the song was brilliant. I loved the song. I thought it was blunt, frank. I think he is preaching knowledge to the people that need to hear it and in their vernacular.
I agree. You know,
I agree.
I know I've heard arguments for, you know, both using the word and reclaiming it, that whole argument. And I've also heard that, you know, read articles about people saying that if you use it, you're ignoring the pain that the ancestors felt with the word, and even people alive today who have you know, been through that experience, had the word used against them negatively. And I mean, like I said, I come from the hood, for lack of a better word, and we did sort of always embrace the word in a sort of reclaiming of the negativity, and sort of you sort of put it on as a little bit of a badge of honor / term of endearment, sort of the same way that gay people call each other fag or bitch or girl, kind of a thing. And I'm for, you know, I understand both camps, but at the same time, ignoring the word and just never saying it is never going to take away the pain that the word has caused. So for me, I think, especially in Jay-Z's case in this song, where you're using it to preach knowledge and, you know, the line, what's better than something, something? Credit. Right? I didn't grow up knowing that. I didn't grow up. I wasn't taught about having good credit growing up. You know, I had to work my credit score up.
That was,
But so.
Have you heard the OJ song?
No, I haven't.
Oh, haven't?
No. It's so good. Oh. But he says, nigga, over and over. Well,
it's like rich nigga, poor nigga, dark nigga, night nigga.
Yeah.
Still nigga.
You're still a nigga.
You know what I mean?
That's like the way this all goes.
Still nigga. And the whole thing is based on the idea that OJ once said that he was not black, he was OJ. So that the thought that he was above race and that he achieved so much success that he wasn't even black anymore, didn't matter.
Right.
And as we later found out, as soon as some things changed for him, he realized how black he actually was.
Yep.
Right.
You know? So, you know, as long as there's a race conversation in this country, I think there's a place for that word. My bad. That's just
and
where
it's going to be like that for, I mean, look at like what we're going through after the election and Trump now being.
Oh, that makes me itch.
And people are just, I feel like people are just like outwardly just racist now.
Oh, absolutely.
When they were before.
They're emboldened.
And somebody was ordering, he was like, can I get a nigger Modelo?
Ooh.
Right. I was like, okay. I just walked away because I need my job. And it's called a Negro Modelo. That's like the correct way to say it, not nigger Modelo, which is what he said.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. Like, I personally don't use the word.
I was going to say, I've never heard you say it.
Yeah, I don't use the word. And I don't use it because I feel like if I use it and somebody of, you know, mixed company uses the word around me, I don't have as much to go on to explain to them why they should not use the word.
Yes, you do.
Right.
Because you know what? There's nothing. I don't know. I hear you. I just get like, there's nothing fair about it. Yeah, you can't say it. And I can.
Right.
There's nothing fair about that. I will admit that.
Right.
There's nothing, but that's the way it is. There's nothing fair about the fact that the word exists either.
Yeah.
Do you use it in regular vocabulary?
Not. I use it. I use it in closed circles. I'm not gonna lie. I don't walk around.
I don't use it in mixed company. Like I'll be like, you talking to you like that nigga nah. Like
you know what I mean.
But I don't say it on stage.
Oh
like,
no,
as a comedian,
no.
Like
yeah,
but
most people have never heard me say the word.
I mean, but I feel like I would depending on the room.
Exactly. And close company. But I hear what you're saying. It is tough to explain when people say, why can you say it and I can't? And you say, because that's the way it is. Because it's not okay for you because of the way it has been used for
anyone who asks that is an asshole.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone who needs to ask that question has a problem.
Correct. And that's the best way I can think of to fight the problem.
Yeah, the good news is they've outed themselves as an asshole.
But the fact that like it's in such mainstream music, like it's
because I people myself, are like just, even if someone is singing to themselves on the phone.
I was
like, you know
I
mean?
Had
and
an example. I was
the headphones in.
My little brother was
like,
telling
are
me how
say
he
it?
Was. He was right. Are you gonna say it? Right. He like saw these like girls in the car and like Beyonce's I Ain't Sorry was on and they were singing along to it and then you know she has nigga nah in the song and they just said it singing it because it's Beyonce like.
I mean,
I feel like it's one of those things you got to do it in the privacy of your own home if you're going to do it, white people. Like,
yeah, right.
And don't do it in front of other black people.
And that's the point of art and music is to push the boundaries and to push the fact that that's happening has conversations started about
exactly.
race and about the word. The fact that it's in art and music, you know,
still shows how prevalent it is because. This is the hottest album that's out right now, and he has a song that's like nigga, 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 nigga.
Exactly. And context is important, especially in art. Context in Django.
I know.
It's a great album.
Yeah. No, it's a phenomenal album. Like I haven't been able to put really it down since I started 444, like where he's like crying about Beyonce and like. Trying to get her back and like saying how sorry he is, like it's good. It's really good.
Starting a lot of good conversations like this one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is that word like used a lot in Canada?
No.
Like
yeah.
Like I don't know. I don't know.
I mean,
Canadian culture. Like
I mean, certainly not among white people. I mean, maybe black people use it sometimes. I don't know. It's a different history there. I mean, it's still not like there's still a lot of things not to be proud of in Canadian history, but it's very different. It's just really different, I would say. And yeah, we don't use that word. We also don't say retarded at all in Canada. It's a bad word. You don't say it.
Yeah.
Sorry for saying it at all right now.
I hate saying it.
I moved down here like 10 years ago and I heard it on the news and I was like, I jumped back. I was like, you can't do that.
You heard it on the news?
Yeah, it was like on, I don't know, like CNN or something. It probably was Fox, let's be honest.
good old
it was probably
Fox.
Trump.
Who's right? Maybe it was an interview with Donald Trump and I forgot. But yeah, I don't know. It's different. No. I mean, I don't know, maybe a little bit. But again, like black people, mostly, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? My little cousins who are... I don't know if I should tell this story.
Don't name them.
Right, exactly.
Someone in my family once said it when they were a little kid, and I stopped them and said, you can't say that. And it was, and they loved Oprah. And I was like, sit down. Like, they lived in the middle of nowhere. They'd never met anyone of color. And I remember that really clearly because I remember being like, you can't do that. So I guess, yeah, probably in rural Canada, it's probably the same. I mean, to a certain degree, at least.
Yeah.
And it was again that they'd just never met anyone of color, anyone, you know, it was, and I was just like, this is what I was honestly just like, you like Oprah, right?
Yeah.
That was the conversation. I was 12. It was like, this is the best thing. But they were like, yes. Like, do that. So yeah, actually, yeah, I guess they do.
Well, you kind of feel like there's just an oddness of rural people to begin with because it's just so homogeneous.
Yeah.
And like I went to college in New Hampshire. And so there was not a lot of diversity there at all. And I was in a grocery store, and I remember this kid was probably, I'm not good with kid ages, but I'm going to say the kid was probably 3 to 5 years old. And I'm online behind him and his mom. And he turns around and he looks at me and he just like grabs his face. And then he runs over to me and licks my hand, goes back to his mom and says, she doesn't taste like chocolate.
Ah!
Okay. I was just like,
no.
And I can't say anything to this like 3 to 5 year old. And I just looked at the mom like, you are the biggest piece of shit on the planet.
Right, like, because that's a parent thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's, yeah.
You know that there's people of color everywhere. Like, just because you don't live around them doesn't mean that there's, you don't have the internet, you don't have TV, you can teach your child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like.
Not to stare.
It's like I never like ran up to like a white person and been like, oh, you don't taste like lemon ice. Like, you know.
There's that song, You Got to Be Taught.
Yeah.
You got to be carefully taught, you know, to hate and fear. You got to be taught from year to year. You got to be taught for your 7 or 8 and, to hate the people who look different than you. Yeah, you have to learn it from somewhere. And that's really telling.
Yeah.
Billy Porter does a great cover of that, by the way, on his latest album.
Oh, that's awesome.
Featuring India Arie on that.
Kevin's just dropping all the plugs.
You know.
I love it.
Yeah, are there any other companies you want to plug
right now? He got his teeth covered. He got his show covered.
No, my dental hygienist is seeing the show tonight, actually.
Give him a free cleaning.
Right. And a whitening.
Yeah, and a whitening. I'll take one, too. So now, Emily, do you think that we're ever going to have clean water?
Wait, what? Well, I think New York has clean water. I guess I was... So when we were talking about, like, things to talk about in the show, one of the things that we were saying, like, maybe... I guess you had mentioned, like, things that we feel like aren't talked about enough. And,
right.
And I think Flint, Michigan is obviously a big thing, which is... I went kind of on a deep dive about, like, what happened in Flint. And they're not supposed to drink their water until 2020, it sounds like. They're talking about abandoning the city, and or maybe not, and living there until 2020 and boiling their water. Either way is insane.
Insane, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess, I don't know, I was just sort of like, as things we could all talk about, like, clean water, fracking is a thing. In rural communities, they come in and offer you a bunch of money to dig for oil, basically, on your land, and then the water is ruined, and that's incredibly awful.
Well, there's also a lot of reservations in, like, the Midwest and the West that they have no running water, and their water is tainted.
Yeah, and the same is true in Canada. Yeah.
Yeah. And so... there's a tribe I was watching a documentary about that actually once a month has clean water like brought to them via truck, and it's like a barrel. They give them a barrel of water for a month.
Wow.
And what? They have to drink and conserve this water because they literally have one clean barrel of water per month, and then the next month then they'll get another barrel of water. And this is 2017.
Right, like, and so that's exactly what I was thinking is, what are we doing? We live in this incredibly wealthy country, or, you know, and same thing again with Canada.
We're making the rich richer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're taking steps to protect corporations and the oil companies and the insurance companies and the millionaires and billionaires in our country to fatten their pockets on the backs of everybody else.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Exactly.
But it's just
capitalism at its worst.
It's astonishing to me that, like, you know, like, you'll have, like, First Nation people that literally have third world conditions. They not even, like, they don't have clean water. Like, Flint, Michigan, they don't have clean water, but they have plumbing.
Yeah.
These people don't have clean water plumbing.
Yeah.
So it's like crazy. This is the water that you cook with. This is the water you drink with. This is the water you bathe with.
Right.
And
one barrel
lasts 1 month. I think, you know, it's astonishing. I don't know how many gallons are in a barrel, but I'm assuming maybe it's like, It could be like 100 gallons, but like 100 gallons, like how, like No.
Oh, that's what you said? I thought that's what you said.
I was like, wait.
Big as a bear. Yeah. I mean, on that note, I think I need to go.
Okay, so Kevin, before you go, where can everyone see you? Where can everyone catch you on social media?
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Kevin Smith Kirkwood. My website is kevinsmithkirkwood.com. Also, come see Kinky Boots 8 times a week, currently starring Panic at the Disco star Brendan Urie, who's killing it. And check out Classic Whitney Alive, July 31st, 9:30 p.m. at Joe's Pub. Get your tickets before they sell out, either on my website or the Joe's Pub website. You will not be disappointed, I guarantee.
And you're going to see Rodney and I there, because we're going to come and support.
We'll thank you for the love. We'll give you a good one.
Yeah.
You guys, thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing
this. Awesome.
The show.
Of course. What a pleasure to meet you.
All right. Bye, Kevin. Kill it tonight.
I know. Break a leg.
Break all the legs.
Break a leg.
So, yeah, it's very, very strange to just like think that that's the society that we're living in right now. Yeah. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. And Emily, you're more than welcome to stay for the next segment if you don't have anything to do. But if you,
that's great.
What a busy lady I am.
You know,
on Friday night, New York City.
Perfect. Perfect. We've got beer for you. But before but before we wrap this segment up, I also want you to tell all the folks, where can they follow you on social media? When's your next show? Like, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. I have, my website is emily-duncan.com. My Twitter is @mduncaroo. And the next thing I'm doing stand-up this Sunday at Pier A Harbor House at a show called Salon. And then I've got my show Pluto is Missing running at the Pit every Sunday this fall, which will be an exciting, family-friendly, scientific romp.
That's awesome. Nice. Awesome. Rodna Daniels?
My next show is August 9th, unless I'm... at Broadway Comedy Club downstairs.
You can catch me at All Shrunken Head the first Saturday of every month for Merriment and Mortification. Follow the show at Twitter on Big Talk and Brew. Follow me on Twitter at Marissa Smith. This is Big Talk and Brewskis. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be right back. Come back. See you in a minute. I beat that bitch with a bat. She disrespect me, I beat that bitch with a bat. Forever reject me, I beat that bitch with a bat. She never requests me, I beat that bitch with a bat. But always second guess me, I beat that bitch with a bat. I'm tired of her wicked ways. On the nights and shorter days, she wants you to savor her. But my instructions given as a laborer. I beat that.
Allah increased her sickness. BS drop by the thickness. I'll be deaf with that. I'll be deaf. I'll be deaf with that. I'll be deaf. You can get with this or you can get with that. I'll be deaf. Johnny Dangerous. Come on. I'll be Club America. I'll be Club America. I'll be Club America. I'll be Club America. I say Club America. I'll be Club America. I'll be one to America. I'll be there. Yeah. Final call. All y'all. Final call. All y'all. Final call. All y'all. All y'all.
Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, more. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith.
Yeah. Hey guys, welcome back to Big Talkin' Brewskis. I'm Marissa Smith. We've got Rodney Daniels
What's
with us.
What's up guys? I'm Rodney Daniels. Happy Friday.
We've got Emily Duncan with us.
Hi.
And we have Corey Rapon with us.
Hello, the internet.
So, Corey, how was your week?
It was fine. Do you want more than that? Or was that acceptable?
Is it acceptable to you?
I don't know. It was just a shitty week at work. So yeah. I don't know if you guys want to get into the specifics of working with computers or not, but a lot of meetings.
Crash.
Yeah, a lot of meetings. Actually, more problems with like meetings and just general office bullshit than actual work.
Okay.
You guys know how it goes. You don't actually do your job that much. You just have to go to meetings all the time and be on conference calls. Pretend like you care.
Then you had to have a meeting about a meeting that you're going to
yes.
have. Yeah, I do.
And then when they didn't
lot.
Understand things in the first meeting, you have to have a second meeting.
Right. And then you have the final meeting that explains what was in the first meeting and the second meeting.
If only there were a final meeting.
What?
Wouldn't that be great?
I'm the one that puts the spreadsheets together that ties in all the meetings.
That sounds like literally the worst job I've ever heard of in my entire life.
Yeah,
just
like
your job is spreadsheets and meetings?
Yeah. Look up my life away. That's and pivot at the same time.
Can you at least make sure, like, does that... Can you just pretend it's taking longer to do the spreadsheet so you can, like, actually go do other fun things?
Well, that's why I pivot, and then I, like, basically what I do, and don't listen to me right now.
What
I do is that I set up a spreadsheet that I can just do a VLOOKUP to, refresh my pivot, and just updates all the data. So something that would take me hours.
So you didn't tell them that you've automated the thing you do.
Right.
But you have.
Yes.
So it takes way less time, but they don't know that it takes way less time.
Exactly.
So good for you.
Hang out more.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about the story? There was a guy that had some computer job. I think it was like a programming job or something. And he outsourced his work to China. So he did nothing. Like, he outsourced it for pennies on the dollar. And then I think after maybe 6 years, they caught him and fired him. But
wow.
Six years?
Yeah.
I could have done that for
for 6 years and I work.
I worked
my job.
Work smarter, not harder.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
That immigrant labor is out there. Utilize it while it's still.
He should have got a promotion for that. I feel like, I think, yes.
Yeah.
If you're
clearly,
that smart,
if you're that smart,
give him a better job.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You need to be like right.
That's he's clearly managing the dude doing his job, so like just let him manage other people.
Right, because yeah. clearly he's smart.
I'd put that on my resume. Like,
I would just
proudly.
Replace him with the Chinese people. He's been
right, exactly.
The middleman.
Yeah.
Like, if they're right. already doing the work and they're doing it well enough to like pass muster,
I mean, they made macros for a reason, but right. you know, I don't know.
Yes, I'm glad I don't work in an office now. Like,
yeah, it's whatever. It's fine.
Fluorescent I mean, lights and cubicles.
Yeah. I've been out of an office for less than 2 weeks, and I'm like, what is all this? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's been the greatest 2 weeks. Like, just drinks taste better, and
yeah,
like the
I'm
air
so
just smells nice.
I wake up like smiling.
Oh. I imagine it's like,
I still
you know,
wake up grouchy, but
like in the Disney
mornings.
Movies with like the princesses and all the birds around, like just fluttering when they're in the morning. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's what it would be like.
Yeah,
it is.
It's like, what is this bluebird doing on my shoulder?
I recommend.
God, I wish I could do that, but.
But you don't have to deal with people, though. That's the only thing. I'm a waiter, so like.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
God.
I would just murder all of the people.
You have to, like, just smile.
It's like, my wife and I watch a lot of the like real estate shows. So, okay. $1 million.
Oh, my God. Obsessed. Yeah.
So, big fan.
Yeah.
But. Literally every time they're dealing with like a client or a seller or a buyer or like whatever, I would murder people in that situation
because yep.
just they have to like keep it calm when other people are insane and I can't imagine doing
yep.
that.
Especially like yeah, I got 15 tables going, and but you want me to explain to you what like fucking
yeah,
what's this? What's your best tequila, motherfucker? We got 20 of them. Pick one.
Tequila.
Because they're like 40. It's like 40 tequilas.
I tell you what.
That's the most expensive. That one's the
exactly
best.
Right. I mean, right. Clearly, you can tell if it's better because it's priced differently. Like,
right.
if you
like
have to ask the price,
I will
afford.
Tell you what our best tequila is. If you can explain to me how they make tequila, then I will do that. But otherwise, you don't know enough. So
which,
who cares?
Which I know that because I had to sit through like
sure
tequila
you know
tastings
that.
And shit.
Which
is great. But, I mean, but. I don't have time to explain that to you because I have 15 other fucking tables.
Yeah. I hate people that
tequila.
Pretend to be connoisseurs about stuff.
Empirically, is there a best tequila? There's just different flavors and there's different types. And there's pick one.
Right.
If you all are
and then they'll go, I want Cuervo.
Tell the difference.
We don't carry Cuervo.
Just
that's the shittiest tequila ever. We don't
pick
carry
your favorite
it.
1980s rock star and then whatever tequila he's selling. That's the one that you
right. get. I like the tables that say, hey, pick something for me. What's the best thing on the menu? Pick it. All right, great. Boom.
That's usually what I like to go with. Like
that, you're smart.
So
that's the way you do it.
Last night, my wife and I went to a Greek restaurant, and I got lamb, which I don't eat a lot that when it's not out of a cart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the guy was like, how do you want this cooked? And I was like, however it should be cooked. Like, whatever temperature that is, that's how I want you to cook it. I'm not going to put any extra bullshit on it. Like, just, you know better than me, probably. So do it that way.
Yeah.
Or when people just want to change the stupidest shit, like Parmesan crusted chicken. Can I get that without cheese? Bitch, you just want a chicken breast? Like, that's what that is. They
then
coat the chicken breast in cheese, bitch. Like,
I
that's
used to
what
actually,
it's called.
Whenever we would, I never really drank wine a lot, and my wife loves wine. Her family also loves wine, so I've started to like slowly work into wine. But I was drinking like. Pretty much the sweetest wines that you could get as like
ooh, rose.
Into it.
Like yeah.
No, like there's literally
no,
a
like
company
port.
Called Cupcake or Cupcake Wine.
Yeah,
oh,
Cupcake
yeah,
Wine.
Yeah.
So I would get the Red Velvet Cupcake Wine, and, which is like the sweetest stuff. But I would go into restaurants and I would say, "What? Give me the wine that if you could legally give a child wine, like give me."
You see my reaction
like,
right
you
now?
I mean?
If I was your waiter,
what's
I'd be the like,
"Relate of wine,
yeah." Just give me whatever that is.
What this guy
absolutely. Yeah. There should be like a microphone like that's at that little computer that's like at every restaurant. Just you can hear
that would
like,
honestly make a great TV show.
That would watch. Be a great TV
yeah,
show. Because, yeah, because
that's probably
because I walk
industry,
away
like,
oh, okay, yeah, great. I got this fucking bitch.
It's like,
you know what this
like,
bitch just asked me?
She wants the Kool-Aid of wine. So now, what kind of wines does your wife and your and her family drink? Are they like?
Well, my wife she knows a lot more about wine, so she's like very seasonal. Like now, she's drinking white wines and stuff.
Ooh, right. I like her already.
she's amazing. In case she's listening, likes very dry wines, like very sort of, I guess, more tart.
Okay. Mm-hmm,
like Cabernet.
I don't know like the words you use to describe wines, but like more adult wines, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And I'm slowly working my way in. But just red wines. I can't do white wines. I don't know.
You don't like white wines.
I've tried.
White wines are like the way to get into wines, actually.
Have you had like a Moscato?
I couldn't.
It's super sweet.
You paid me $1 million. Yeah. I couldn't tell you why that's different than any other wine.
If you don't like white wine, but you like sweet wines, I think you should try a Riesling because a Riesling is
that's actually a good.
That's a good.
I'll drink some wine.
That's all you earlier. Rosé.
Yeah,
rosé. Wine tasting.
Rosé all day. We're in rosé.
Rosé all day.
Yeah,
rosé all day.
Yeah, we're in rosé season right now.
We've been finding out.
I like the idea of the person who like doesn't name the actual seasons. It's just the type of wine. Like that's how they're living their life.
Yeah.
They're not like it's summer. They're like, no, it's rosé season.
It's rosé all day. But like a Riesling is like a German dessert wine. Okay. So it's like it's very sweet and it's like almost like a Italian aperitif, which would be also very sweet, Spanish like Portos. If you like red and sweet, like Portos are very sweet.
Portos are really probably what you should be drinking.
Yeah.
I'm trying to memorize.
Yeah, the look on your face is like this is a collection of words that you're hearing for the first time.
I have to say, so I was before the break, I was sitting there for like 5 minutes maybe, and you guys were talking about some heavy stuff, and I don't have a lot of knowledge that I'm bringing to the table.
So now you come in and we're talking about wine.
Some really misinformed opinions coming at you.
This worked out really well because one of the things that I pitched was, does anybody actually like white wine?
Perfect.
Right. I love white. I'm like your wife, like where it's like seasonal. Like I like white wines in the summer and I like red wines in the fall and winter.
That's nice. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, you I'm that guy that I know. Well, you know, I would do it for work. So
I'll do white wine in the summer, but then non-summer seasons, I'll only pair it with my food. Like, so if I'm having like a fish or a pork or something like that, or a chicken, then I'll have like a white wine.
I love red wine though. Like, and I always like pair.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I'll drink red wine until I absolutely can't. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Until
pass out.
Right, and then you wake up
in terms of quantity and in terms of like pairing with food, and that kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
that's the best way I've ever heard alcoholism explained. I drink red wine until I can't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you drink boxed wine?
No, but I'd be interested if you know any good ones.
I was going to say, don't judge box wine by boxes.
Exactly.
There's really good. There are some good ones.
I just sort of avoided it blanket because I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So, Vinvolt is a really good red box wine. And they have like an amazing Cabernet and it's it's like it has like the dark fruit notes, it's got like the chocolate notes, and it's got like almost like a leathery note into it. And like Vinvolt, like I for like a box wine, it's like when you look at it, you're just like, this is a wine in a box, I'm not from a trailer park. But then when you taste it, you're just
don't be judging people that drink wine in boxes.
If anybody
from
Vinvolt is listening, please
send me Vinvolt. I love them all.
Please send the show some wine, and we'll try it out 100%.
It'll be big wine and brewskis.
Black Box is really good, too.
I've never had a Black Box.
Black Box wine is really good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Also, in box form, they have the Lab, which is a Portuguese red wine.
Ooh.
And that's like also one of my favorite wines that's red in a box. Because I believe in quantity and quality at the same time.
See, that's the whole thing.
You deserve it.
I could take down a big-ass, bottle, though. So that's, why I'm like, okay, let me just get a box. call it a day.
I just don't like going to the store.
Right.
That's fair. Especially in New York, because you can't bring like a lot of stuff back with you, so you gotta make it count.
It's like you gotta make it count, right? Extra trips. It's just like, you know, something, this box will last me like 2 weeks. I'm good.
And is it just me, or is it like every, because it's like a liquor and wine store specifically in New York, it's like packed to the brim with like alcohol, and like you just walk in and you're just like, oh shit.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you just look and you're like, how am I gonna
what am I gonna pick? I got prices, I got, you know, instead of this wine, it's like different regions, and
that's what I really
too much
do.
Selection, that's the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. What I really envy alcoholics, because they just have their like one brand of like whatever they get every day.
Yeah.
Super easy, man.
Yeah.
Just walk in, get a fifth or whatever, and then go ruin their lives.
It's yeah. Great. Yeah. No. Problem, I'm functioning, so like I like to taste different things. Like I had a lot of vodka last night, let me do this instead.
Oh, you like to mix it up. Good for
you. Yeah, I like to mix it up, yeah.
Yeah. So, Corey.
Yes.
Do you feel like you have a lot of anger issues?
This, by the way, I know that you had sent us asking for topics, but that was very Byron Allen. Like, when he's like, the comic has a joke about roller coasters or whatever, and he's like, so I hear you like roller coasters, just apropos of nothing. Yes, I'm a very angry person. Let's go.
And I will say Byron Allen is also one of the highest paid comics on television.
Is he a comedian, though?
I
think he just did he ever do comedy? I legitimately don't know. He might have been like one of those dudes in the 80s that like did comedy in LA for like 2 years and then found another route. I don't know.
So I think that he would self-identify as being a comedian.
That's the nicest way of putting it. I know so many people in New York that would self-identify as being comedians.
Comedian, yeah.
You know, everyone has their own truth.
Unfortunately, I think we're finding that out a lot politically, that everybody has their own truth. There we go. There we go. I was also super pumped when I came in the room and there was the air horn played at some point. I was like, yes, they have the air horn.
Yeah.
Just made me feel nice and good. Double air horn. Now, just every time I talk, she's just going to do the air horn. There we go. All right. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Aren't you? Why do you feel like you're an angry person?
I'm a psycho. I'm a fucking totally angry psycho.
Boy. Do you be pushing motherfuckers down in the subway and stuff?
Like, I mean, I have not to that degree.
I don't know if you
follow
his Facebook at all, but his Facebook definitely reads like a serial killer. But I'm just saying,
I'm 100%.
Descriptions of milk he had drank.
I'm surprised.
And the kinds of teat it came from.
I'm 100% surprised. I've never gotten into a fight in New York. Like I should have gotten into all of the fights.
I love watching fights in New York. It's so great.
Like my mom came to visit very recently, and you know how you just get in a mode? Like we were like walking my dog and stuff, and we're like talking about some stuff. And so I started telling her about some of my just lesser psycho moments, and then I just saw her opinion of me change, and she was like, "Oh, I didn't know that that was what I raised as a human being." And I was like, our relationship changed, I think. And that wasn't even like the craziest stuff.
Your mom doesn't like you anymore.
That's really her fault, because she should have done a better job.
I 100% agree with you, but I don't know that she would agree with you.
I mean, well, I feel like as a kid you have like a personality. Like if you're like mad as a kid, you might be like mad as
I was
like,
so mad as a kid.
Yeah. Like,
and
like a mad baby. Like
We had the
conversation. Mad baby. Like...
Yeah, now you're like, these motherfuckers.
Yeah, you know,
I don't know that all babies are mad.
No, some
babies are really sweet.
I don't think all babies are mad.
Right, exactly.
Well, then why are they screaming all the time?
Not all of them are always screaming. So, I mean, it depends. Like, they all have their different personalities.
I've never met a baby that didn't scream.
If you had shit in your pants and you did not have the ability to change your pants, you would scream.
Right, exactly, because that's like their only way of communicating. Like, at a certain point, they all scream. But some babies just scream just to be screaming. Or, like, they'll be like... Like, or just like hold their breath until like they pass out. They do that.
Well, then they'd stop screaming. That's okay.
They would,
right?
I mean, that's one way to take care of it. Yeah, just let him pass out again.
Right, so I feel like you were a mad baby, like, already. Like, you're a mad kid, mad baby.
I was 100% a mad kid.
That wasn't your mom's fault.
Are you guys not?
She knew that.
You guys have anger, right? Like, you, like...
Oh, no, I have anger.
Yeah. When you get, like, how do you deal with your anger, though?
I've had a lot of anger.
Do you just
therapy.
Let it go? I go to therapy. He knows I'm a psycho.
Like, no, but, like, I learned.
Subway. That's how I take care of it.
I have a lot of sex.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
That's the one way to get out.
That's, like, that gets at, like, you know, my anxiety.
So you just, like, fucking take it. You're just, like, one of those who's, like, you motherfucker. Just getting it out.
Yeah, suck all that right. dick.
There you go. I mean, look, you know. Do you scare people while having sex with them? Or are they like, Jesus Christ, I didn't sign up for that at all?
I have scared a couple motherfuckers, yeah.
Nice.
I try to channel my anger. So, like, for the most part, I feel like I'm very, like, level and even, and a lot of people just kind of, like, you've known me for, like, a while, and yeah. I've
never seen you, like, get back mad like that. Like,
yeah, and
you'll look at a motherfucker funny.
Yeah, but, like, when I get that, like, so I try to release regular anger and channel that into things that are constructive. So, like, you know, like, I'll channel that anger into, like, stand-up or something like that, because I feel like if you're happy, you really never get into, a sweet spot of comedy, because, like, nothing's funny when you're happy. You're just like, everything is great. What's funny about this?
Definitely need the range of emotions.
Yeah. So, like, I try to, like, channel that, like, angsty anger into, like, comedy, but then, like, I do get really, like, rage driven, where I can, like, kind of get, like, blackout rage. Like, I'm 100% really? Sober, but, like, I will be so angry that I will do and say things that, like, I will not remember.
Have you ever punched a wall?
I've punched a refrigerator, an oven.
Okay.
You know, I've jumped on a hood of a car. You know, like, I can do a blackout rage. Yeah.
I didn't train once. I was never gonna win that battle. Yeah,
that's not when you're gonna win.
Yeah, but I did it.
I didn't expect to relate to anybody on the anger thing, but
we're comics.
Punching,
we're
all fucked up. Like, punching things. Have you ever? I'll just tell you what I did, and then you can tell me if you've done anything similar. I got. I was in line for a bus because I live in New Jersey now, so I was in line for a New Jersey Transit bus, and I was like 20 people from the entrance where you, like, leave to go. Or I guess the exit to where you leave to get on the bus, and two 20-something-year-olds, I saw them cut line. So I started to yell at the people that allowed them to cut line. I was like, you dumb pieces of shit. You're just going to let these fucking people cut line? And they were kind of like, shrugged their shoulders. They're like, I don't know what to do. So we all got on the bus, and I found out...
In my hood, we call them pussies, but go on.
Okay. So what I did is I got on the bus, and I found out that there were seats in front of the people to cut the line. So I sat right in front of them, and I turned around, and I told them to go fuck themselves until they got off the bus. Anything like that?
Wow.
Now,
wait.
I will definitely
until they got off the bus?
Yes.
Like, wow.
So I will say that I've been in a situation where somebody has let them, someone cut a line, and then I will go to the people that let them cut and be like, well, we didn't let them cut, and then I will curse both the cutees and the cutters out. But usually at that point, that situation will fix itself. I've never had the situation where I've gotten to either. This happens normally on an ATM machine, but, you know, like, where it's like a long line. I'm like, listen, you fucking pussy. This machine could possibly run out of cash. I've been standing here for, like, how long? You're just going to let these motherfuckers cut in front of you? Well, I'm not a fucking bitch. I'm not letting them cut in front of me. I didn't say you could cut in front of me. You need to at least get behind my fucking ass. And so, like, I have had that kind of situation. But usually by the time I vocalize my opinion, they will at least get to behind me on the line. So I've never had to, like, curse somebody out of a bus, but
I wish I was sitting next to the oh, the other side. Like,
everybody's super uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
Like, yeah.
There was also the...
I wish a motherfucker would.
This is probably relatable to you guys. So, you know, in the morning especially, like when the doors open, everybody knows the doors are going to open at this spot. So we all stand to the side of the doors, allow people to leave. Then we go in the bus. It's a shitty morning, whatever. So I was doing that, allowing people to walk out. And then this chick, like, darted in ahead of, like, everybody.
I hate that.
And that pissed me off so much. I was like, you're going to fucking cut in front of all these goddamn people. And she gave me this shit-eating grin, like she knew exactly what the fuck she was doing. And then I just yelled. I yelled, I hope you die in a fucking car fire, you dumb cunt. And everybody on the train was very uncomfortable.
Wow.
See, now, you hip check that bitch before she gets into the train.
Right.
That's because, like,
I'm allowed to do that?
I never say anything. I was like,
oh, I don't
right
I
up
don't
against
know.
Like a book bag the other day, and I just wanted to be like, motherfucker, take your book bag off. Like,
tell him.
So they're like, but I don't.
So now if you, I can't. And then when I'm in the right, I take out all my anger from everything. Except if I'm doing it, like, I like to channel it mostly into comedy, but if I've got some built up, if someone's like,
I'm just scared of getting punched in the face.
So now here's my cure all for all of that. Yeah, when you're having somebody that's doing some fucked up shit, but you don't want to actually tell them about themselves. I just call I call this move tuberculosis, and you're just their face, and they will move. They will, and they're just like, and it's just like when, and you just look at them like straight, like.
yeah, that's
I've
what I'm
like
scared
almost
of.
40 years in counting, and I still have my face.
I get people as I go by, kind of thing. Like, so it might be an accident, but it's not.
But like, I usually have like a book bag or a purse. But then, like, in one of those things where like somebody's like jumping in front of me, I definitely like hit him like like a hip check with the purse.
Yeah,
and then they're like, oh, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Were you behind me? And they're just like,
I like them to know what they did.
I
like,
don't,
and not just
you're
think
so
you're an
serious
asshole.
Right now.
No, they need to know what they did. One thing I will do physically this bothers me every time. If I'm going downstairs and a train lets out and then there's like a rush of people going upstairs, I always make sure I'm all the way to the right.
Yeah, because that's where you're supposed to be.
But then they will come up and then there's
some
no space for me.
Always
so what I do is I just drop the shoulder and I'm walking through everybody. Like, boom, 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 fucking shoulder, shoulder, shoulder. I'll take out everybody going downstairs. I don't give a shit.
Especially if that's your fucking train, too. Like,
If you
you're
me
at
train,
where you want to fucking be at, motherfucker.
That's
right. Like,
I will yell at you about. Or I'll walk away just like, fucking shit. And I'm the crazy person cursing on the platform. Like, oh,
fuck, right?
I do what I call a drive-by lecture on escalators, which is if people stand across. I walk.
We were
them,
talking about this on another show.
I start talking at the beginning, and by the time I'm past them, I've educated them on what they're supposed to do.
Right? Yeah. No, I have
and
done
I turn
that.
Around and I go,
I've been like, when people don't, everybody knows you're supposed to like stand on the right, and people like want to walk on the left, and like then some motherfucker stands, and I've like yelled down like, "Hey, fucking move!" Like. Because people, we gotta go. I got shit I gotta do. Yes, you're just standing there chilling. Yeah. Go stand on the right side, motherfucker.
Better if it's like a packed train and people won't get out of the way so you can leave the train. It's like, we can do this one of two ways.
Either I'm gonna push you,
get out of my way, or I'm getting off this train, like one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if people just don't move, then I just plow through them. But
we probably just lost everybody that doesn't live in New York City right now on the show.
Why is everyone so angry?
Why are you all so angry?
If you're if you're out there and you do not live in New York City and you think, hey, I'm a psycho, move to New York City. It's a perfect place to be.
You'll
if you're
blend
a crazy
in with everybody.
Person.
Yeah.
And also, if you don't live in New York City and you're listening to this show, here's a little lesson. On the escalator, you're supposed to stand on the right and walk on the left. It'll save you so much grief if you do that.
Yeah.
You're going to get yelled at so much less, and you'll walk away like, wow, New Yorkers are nice.
And even when, like, going up and down the stairs
and
in the subway.
Yeah, yeah.
always stay to the right. You stay to the fucking rules, right.
You know?
Like, yeah. Pass on the it's left. Pretty simple, I think.
Fucking heathen bastards.
Or just, ah.
Goddamn tourists.
Your fucking phone, standing like there, and just stop tourists. For no goddamn reason.
Wait, so I'm like, tourists, like, you gotta be the change you wanna see in the world, so we have to start mugging them ourselves so that they'll go away. We got too many. We got too many of them. We got, like,
right, because all of a sudden now New York's safe and people are coming here.
Hey, New York's too safe. Gotta start yelling at people and scaring them a little.
Yeah.
I do feel like, because I'm not from New York. I was not born here. I moved here as a grown-ass adult.
And, me too.
But I feel like I'm hurting the reputation of New York City. Like, whenever tourists are like, everybody in New York is a bad person. Like, I'm the one that's
doing God's work.
Well, where are you originally from?
I was born in Louisiana. I moved here from Tennessee.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Settler.
So, like, I'm from, like, Westchester County, so I'm, like, a New Yorker, but I'm not, like, a city New Yorker. You know what I mean? Like, I'm from, like, a half hour north.
How are the, just, like, as far as attitudes and, like, how people deal with each other, how different is it?
So, Yonkers is the third largest city in New York State.
Okay.
So it's a city, but also it kind of feels like a small town. So, like, if I go into, like, a strip club in my town, like, people I went to elementary school will be on the stage, and people that I went to elementary school will be drinking a beer. Like, so it's that kind of,
I love,
like,
that's your example, your first example. If, like, I go into and I went strip club.
Like, that's small town to me. It's okay. Like, if you go to, like, a small town, and, like, it's not, like... Yeah, like, you could go to a diner and, like, you're probably going to... If you're in a small town in a diner, the same lady that was serving you when you were 7 is probably going to be serving you when you're 27. But I feel like if you're, like, small town, like, you go into a strip club, it's, like, people that are your age are probably going to still be there. And, you know, like, the DJ
that's
might
like the
have
South.
Been your present. Like,
yeah,
like
the
your
South is definitely
yeah,
like
the
that.
South is very similar. People just never leave.
The Midwest is like that, too. Like, people just,
from.
Like, don't leave.
Yeah. But it's like the difference is that, like, we're still a half hour away from the city, and you guys clearly were not. But
yeah,
like, that is weird to me because I noticed
Louisiana. What like, are you close to, like, New Orleans or
no? It's I was born in Lake Charles, which is like 30 miles from Houston, Texas. So, like, on
the
very
like
west
that,
side,
like,
okay.
of
side.
Louisiana.
Okay,
yeah. But I had a train of thought.
It was
something
you,
about like, strip clubs and townies.
Probably strip clubs and townies. Goddamn, I thought it was going to come back. Sorry, guys. Sorry, all the listeners.
It's fine.
No, you're
so
you're
talking
good.
About dementia and getting old. But so, like, what are your thoughts on aging?
It's not good. 100%. Your 30s is a real mixed bag, too. So I'm about to turn 37, and...
That was a good year. Huh.
What, 1937?
No,
when
I mean,
Hitler
37
was in power?
Was a good year.
That was... you already kind of said. I don't want to... I was going to ask when you were born, but I don't know if that's...
I'm not going to tell you, but I'll tell you. I had a good time when I was 37.
Wait, that's what she's saying. Is that 37
right,
was a good year for her.
We went, man, I, it took me so long. It took me so long to figure out what you were talking about.
Yeah. No, I'm in my 30s.
Okay. All right. Well.
Are you like super flattered though?
Huh? That,
are you super flattered?
Decade.
Yeah. That was great. Thank you.
You should be flattered.
Yeah, that's great.
I told. Thank you. Are you? Yeah. You're like, thanks.
It's
like,
not. Yeah. Although the thing I.
Well, you said two, so I wasn't sure what else we were talking about.
The thing I have 100% noticed is that the 30s super mixed bag depending on like who is really gonna age the most the quickest. And who it's, like, kind of an okay physical decade for.
Right.
Because I've seen people that are my age, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. You look like you might be 50 years old.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So it really hits. It hits some people super hard, but other people
they do
are
not
doing
use
right.
moisturizer. Yeah.
Is that the key, do you think?
You know, it's hydration and moisturizers and not staying out in the sun. It's like, yeah.
Probably not smoking also, I think.
I smoke like a chimney.
Oh, I didn't know
you
smoked.
The same way.
Okay. Yeah. I drink beer. I smoke like a chimney. I also eat kale 3 times a week. You got to fucking pick
your
battles.
You
got to
pick your battles, yeah.
Like, you know.
But that's the thing. Genetics also, huge.
Yeah, factor. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Like my dad, my parents are in their 60s and... they look really good for 60, so I'm looking forward.
Okay. Yeah.
But there's also, I also feel like when you, because you start to be like less precious with your body. So it's like, I don't give a shit. Like I said, if somebody wants to fight me in the subway, I don't really care because, okay, fuck up my face. It's not a good face. Who gives a shit?
What?
I don't care at all.
Your
like my body's
not
a temple.
Care.
Yeah. My body's not a temple at all. Like it's just this dumb, degrading thing.
The guy who was sitting there before was
saying, yeah.
Right. Well, but he works on Broadway though, right?
Yeah. So that's like, so his face that's his bread and butter.
I can have a black eye and still tell jokes to people who don't care.
So like, here's 100%. my only thing is that like I still want to keep my face, but while I'm willing to risk my face is because I know I have insurance. Like I have the best insurance I've ever had in my life. You know what I mean? It's just like,
do you sometimes feel like you should take some chances just because you got to get
so
this, bang for
I
your
got
buck?
Affleck, and that's when I went white water rafting because I was like, if I get there fucked up, I'm still gonna get paid while I'm out of work. Like,
that's a good way to go.
You know what I mean? So it's just like now I'm just like, oh, like I feel like I'm kind of like risk averse for the
you
most
went
part.
White water rafting?
Yeah.
Wow.
Was it terrifying?
It is, but it's also exhilarating. It's just like, it's one of those things, like it's something that was like on my bucket list. I always wanted to do it. And then once my Affleck kicked in and I was just like, so if I get completely mangled in this fucking raft, like I still will get paid for healing and not working. I'm totally whitewater rafting right now.
What did you think about like jumping out of the...
Just,
the raft a little bit just so you could maybe get some workman's comp?
No, because you can't get workman's comp if you're not actually at work. Now,
well, I mean, like
go
the,
under
but the Affleck, the insurance, or like whatever, to heal.
No, because like I figure that all of that shit will kick in with the cancer rider because I also have cancer insurance. So like I put a little extra in because I feel like if you're alive long enough, you're eventually gonna get cancer.
Yeah.
So like I got like the cancer insurance.
Yeah.
Well,
I feel like that's what most like natural causes are. It's just some cancer they haven't found.
Yeah, exactly. I've got like Lyme's disease insurance. Like you know, if I get like Lyme's,
a lot of specific insurance.
Yeah, like I picked up a lot of riders, and it was like literally like. I was like, okay, this is about as much money I spend on coffee and cigarettes a week. I totally might get some of these diseases.
I mean, it's a very...
Yeah. And would you say that you love Affleck?
Yes, and I would like a year for free.
That maybe you should.
Boxed wine, insurance.
Right.
Just, I mean, what other products can we bring up that people could send?
Well, Kevin was talking about dental, and Parkside Dental. I'd like a cleaning for free.
You're great. Thing.
Hi, Parkside Dental.
Yeah.
Hi, Parkside.
Yeah. Hi. Holla at you, girl. These chompas need some care.
What do you think?
I've been doing red wine.
Red wine.
Coffee and cigarettes. Right.
Yeah, coffee, red wine, and cigarettes. Do you lost? Yeah, no, but I feel like kind of like as I get older, like I do understand that like you're a little bit less careful with yourself. I still love my face. I'll still like protect my face. But if I get like some sort of like fucked up shit in my arm, I'm going to like, all right, I can just wear long sleeves. That's okay.
I feel like it takes you longer to heal on shit.
Yeah.
When you're older?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah,
well, your body, I mean, your
it's
body
like,
is
fuck.
Breaking down. Like, it's not,
like,
it's more gradual, certainly, than when you're, like, 80.
I
felt at
work, and, like, my elbow still hurts. Like, fuck, damn.
Yeah, like, it's, I mean, you know, that's why.
Yeah.
That's workman's comp.
Wow. Shit.
High five.
Air five.
Air five. Boop. Yeah. No, that's how I felt. Like,
no, that's why it's. That's
legs
why it's
are there.
It's really, hard for, you know, professional, football, basketball, baseball players whenever they get in their 30s because
it's
you're kind of like because you're kind of at the peak of like your knowledge
your
and your ability, but then your body starts to break down. So, you know, fortunately they have all of the trainers in the world and the dietitians and everything. But that's the thing too. I feel like if you find like celebrities in their 30s and up into their 40s and like beyond that look really good, I feel like if you look at everything they have to do to maintain that, it's insane.
Right, like how does Jennifer Lopez look like Jennifer Lopez?
Right, did you see her?
Plastic.
She's got a team of people, probably.
Yeah.
The AMAs or something she just did that was like...
Everett, yeah.
Yeah, she's still like, I feel like she's kind of like... 4 years away from looking like crazy Madonna.
I don't know. Did you see what she just did with the royal family? She did like a dance thing that was like, I mean, I guess a little bit. Yeah, I guess maybe like a
like
little.
She's like,
I don't know. I don't think that she's going to go that far. I think that she like is keeping it.
She looks great right now, I think. I mean,
like she doesn't look bad. I mean, like, this is why you keep 20-year-old dudes around. But, like, it's just kind of like, ah, J-Lo.
What? You're crazy.
Like, do you think she's like season 8 of The Office where you're just like, I wish you would stop doing this?
Yes, I think she looks better than she ever has.
No. Like, no.
I mean, well, no. That...
Like, she's not dress, like, I think the best the day, she's though. Ever looked yeah. was when she was with Ben Affleck.
Oh, when she was, whoa, yeah. She was like, real. She was real happy.
Geely?
Yeah.
Geely?
Geely?
Yeah, exactly. But, like, I think when she was with Ben Affleck was, like, the best she ever looked.
I think she looks now exactly the same like, still.
No.
It's
no.
a very subtle difference.
Like, subtle. Like.
It's not. It's like. When she's like popping, it's like she has to like release her shoulder. It's just like
I release you.
It's just like, oh, like before it's like I'm Jenny from the block. Now it's like Jenny from the block. Like
Jennifer Lopez has never come on this show.
That's fine. No, I'm just like, bitch, I know you from Gun Hill. Don't try to front.
I don't get that reference.
It's a Bronx reference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's from, like, when she was from the block, she was from, like, Gun Hill Road on the Bronx.
Okay. I told you I'm coming in with a lot of not knowing things.
It's like the South Bronx Riviera.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Most of this is going to be you guys explaining things to me, I feel like. But which I'm okay with.
Yeah, oh, that's
yeah, because you guys, like, do you ever run into her?
She used to work with my dad before she used to work in my dad's precinct as a civilian worker before she got on the like in Living Color as a fly girl.
Wow.
So like my dad like knew her like while she was auditioning to be a fly girl.
Whoa. So before she got her rocks?
Yeah, but like this is what I'm saying, this bitch is old cuz like I was like in elementary school by then.
I know you guys were what oh, wait.
That's right.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you ever go back and watch? That's yeah. She's great in that. She's great in that. That's yeah.
But I mean, wait. Her face is completely different. But go on.
Oh yeah, no, because she's like 47. That's like what. That's
I hope
what it is.
I hope that your face wasn't blocked by like IMDb. Microphones and stuff, so right. that everybody watching can see just how disgusted you were at okay. that number.
Is, but I so know we're someone. Who knows someone that lives in her old house.
Like, okay, yeah.
That's all I've got.
So, like, we'll just put, like, so when she was a fly girl, I was probably in fifth or sixth grade, and she was probably in her 20s. And you know how old I am. Don't tell it out loud.
Right.
So say let's the words.
Let's just think do it in the your math head. There. Let's just do the math. exactly.
Wow, because it's like...
Also, I feel like her age is... probably easily available online.
Wait, yeah, no, but that's what exactly. she's saying is that, she's like, you can look online and people's age is, like, one thing online, but in real life, they're really not
I
that
see.
Age.
I see what you're
so she's not 47? Yeah. Is that what you're allegedly?
47? I wonder,
do you think they have, like, people that they pay to go change their Wikipedia?
Oh, don't, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like
that's, like, the cheapest
that's
thing like, you'll
like,
do.
Yeah. But I mean, they, Wikipedia, you they try to, you know, always edit over bad information.
Not that you're supposed to.
Yeah, not if you're
there's
paying
somebody
the people
putting,
that
right,
do that.
Exactly. You got Jennifer Lopez money.
Is this yeah. a Wikipedia conspiracy?
It is
you think
very
they,
easy to
think they're getting
Wikipedia.
Some money
and Google.
On the
oh,
take?
Yeah.
I have a friend
yeah, absolutely.
Who kind of looks like the guy who played Iceman or whatever it is in X-Men in the original series.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. he kept changing it to say that Ellen Page had dated him or something like that because he thought it was funny.
Like, oh, okay. I was about to say that's the saddest Wikipedia.
No, no, no. It was like
but, okay.
It was like a funny thing. Or like, I forget the details of this, but basically I have a friend that changed a Wikipedia for fun on a regular basis.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
So here's my question, everybody. If you had, I don't know if you guys do, but if you had or have a Wikipedia page, what would be the one thing, if you could add a fact into your Wikipedia page, what would be the one fact that you would change?
If I had
like a true thing or a fact.
No, like just thing. Make it up. Just you if you wanted your Wikipedia page like to say that you grew up in Antarctica, then you could do it. Like, and it would stick. Like, what's the one fact you would change? I'm sorry. I know thinking is not great for radio.
I feel like we need that, like, do, right?
Like,
but I feel like it's because I think that helps get to the core.
Us. What would be the thing that you would do?
See, I feel okay. So I would not do this. I feel like most guys would try to put in some reference to having a large penis. I would not do that. I don't care.
Is that that's just, not something that
I feel like most guys would want to get the word out.
Had to do with a if you were a porn person,
right? I'm thinking about like no, you know, being famous and like probably age is like the most obvious.
So age
thing
would be
like
the one,
one thing that you like.
You
would
I would
change.
Say that I'd wanted to say that I dated Keanu Reeves.
That's pretty solid.
Nice. Okay, right. Yeah. That's nice.
But I want to date Keanu Reeves if you're watching.
I mean, but you can't say that you won like an award or something because they could figure that out.
Young no, but blood. I'm just saying in this. Okay, then okay. Given that, let's change the parameters. Let's say it's the one fact you can add to your Wikipedia page, but it has to be a small fact, such that people would probably not change it. So it can't be anything huge. You can't say like you won a gold like, medal in swimming.
Right, exactly. Gold medal, Rodney Daniels.
I like how much you liked the sound of that. It's like a little shoulder shake.
Put something fun in, like speaks fluent French or something like that. That would like just confuse people a little, you know? Like,
ooh.
I speak okay or French, speak, but if people came
speaks
up
speaks eight different languages.
Yeah. Like, or yeah, like speaks four different, like something right. reasonable, but not like. Like three or four.
Plays
like
five different like, instruments.
Yeah. Specify what they are so people just think that you're
they
good
just
at
think
it,
that you like.
Can, like figure
exactly.
They don't need to know the details.
I feel like I would put in that I have nine fingers. Because then people would check the pictures of you online and try to figure out if they're Photoshops or not. Then a whole conspiracy theory would happen around it.
Oh, like Trump small hands?
Yeah. Yeah, or like, who was the chick that was in True Lies that people thought was a hermaphrodite?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Oh.
She is.
She's genetically, and it's intersex now. Hermaphrodite is
where's that?
Hey, right, hermaphrodite is no longer PC.
Yeah, so we learned that.
She has pretty sweet titties for somebody who's all mixed up in areas.
No, like
he just said, all mixed up.
So she's not physically.
Also, I
intersex.
Don't know the politically correct terms for that.
It's okay.
Oh,
you
no,
can
we
be.
Just learned
fine.
It like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, we're talking about trans and it's different. Like,
yeah,
intersex,
it's fine.
Right?
Yeah, intersex. So, like, now the politically correct term is intersex, but she is genetically intersex. She's not physically intersex.
Was that?
So
she has no penis, no like big clit or anything like that.
Right, it's like her hormones are more male, like you know, like her chromosomes would be a male, but physically she represents a female.
How,
so like,
how
she's
big would her boobs be if she wasn't mainly due genetics? Maybe the biggest boobs in the world, probably.
I don't know.
Like she is killing it if she has.
But like boobs are
dude
like a
chromosomes.
Weird thing. Like Dolly Parton. Right. Did you say like Dolly Parton is like big boobs?
Yeah, she's like world famous for having big boobs.
So she's only a 36 double D, which is not really that big.
Yeah, they're much.
But I think it's like back in the day. Like
well, yeah,
now,
she was one of the
now
first,
we have
like
milk hormones, chicken hormones. Like everybody has testosterone in the chicken.
Like she got
and
the,
everything.
She got the boobs like before, like when we were getting the boobs.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like,
cause, like I'm like a 36 double D, and I don't feel like I look like Dolly Parton. All right, thank you.
You do to me.
These are American grown.
I feel like it's like back in like back in the day. My dad was considered a very big guy, and he's like 6 feet. At the time when he was playing football, he was like 200 pounds maybe, and that's not a huge guy anymore. It's still like a large guy, but it's not like as big as it was.
Yeah,
guy,
like, yeah,
so
like 6'7" or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like boobs wise is probably the similar thing.
Wait,
also
I know
back
what I would
then,
put in my Wikipedia page.
Go
I'm
for it. No, 100%. Go.
But I would just say something like she was a class clown. no one liked me in school. Yeah. But like, I would love to like go back and edit that and have people like from my elementary school like look at it and be like,
I think
I think that'd be really funny, and it would screw with all the people that are like us that like probably look at things and are like, they were popular in high school.
Yeah,
I think that'd be a funny weird thing to just. I don't know, maybe not, but like,
I don't. I still don't
back down.
No,
don't back down for a goddamn second.
No, like totally stay with it. I don't know. I don't know. We only have like 5 minutes. So I'm not gonna like waste our time with.
Have we talked for that long?
Yeah, we have.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to look up that Jamie Lee Curtis thing though.
Yeah, yeah, no, she is genetically intersex.
That's crazy, like how all the rumors were true.
How do they find that out, and how does that if it doesn't show physically?
Did she come out and say that?
But like, this has been going like something that's been going on for like since the 80s. Yeah. I feel like the intersex story has been around as long as Richard Gere and the gerbils.
Right.
Richard, oh, you didn't hear about Richard
fact
Gere?
Check, Richard Gere gerbils.
Yeah, supposedly he put gerbils up his butt for sexual pleasure.
And then had to go to the hospital and get them removed. And can they remove a live gerbil? Like, do they have to kill the gerbil first?
I think you at least have to put tranks up your butt or something. Like, yeah, I don't know how.
God! It's got a visual, sorry.
All right, we got 3 minutes. We got 3 minutes.
Like, how far?
I think you can just get it back out.
All right, so
maybe like a little.
Can I come back and we can just spend an hour talking about gerbils up Richard Gere's butt?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But I feel like maybe you gotta put like a little peanut butter at the end and then just have like draw it out.
But don't they eat through like your intestines though? Like.
No, it's just.
Well, I mean, therein lies the problem. How far are they scooting?
It's called gerbling.
Yeah, but people have names for things that like has it. I want to see if there's any actual case of that happening because people come up with names for these crazy sexual things that like people don't even do.
No,
maybe one person tried.
I think they do it. I think they do.
AKA gerbil stuffing.
Yeah, it's a thing. So we're gonna have to wrap this up. But before we go, Corey. Where can everybody follow you on social media? What's your next show? Your website? All that jazz.
I have a weekly show at the Standing Room in Long Island City, Queens, on Sundays at 8 p.m. called Triggered. You can follow that on Twitter at twitter.com/WeTriggered. Thank you. You can also follow me on Twitter at REPPOCS, Repox.
And Emily, just a reminder for everyone, where can they follow you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at mdunkaroo. That's spelled mdunkaroo.
Ronnie Daniels.
My next show is going to be at the Broadway Comedy Club downstairs in the big room. So really exciting. And you can look me up on Facebook, Instagram, Ronnie Daniels.
Nice.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Talk and Brew. Follow me on Twitter at Marissa Smith. We are here on FLO Empire Radio every Friday from 6 to 8. And remember, you guys, reporters wasted a year of their lives to report on something that Donald Jr. tweeted in 2 seconds. Have a good weekend. They're still colluding. Good night.
It's time for the percolator. 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 It's time.
We're gonna get funky. Funky. Time to get funky, cha cha now y'all. Funky, now it's time to get funky, cha cha now y'all. Funky, now it's time to get funky.